Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 113. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, did you watch the Emmys on Sunday?
No, no. Oh, no.
Why?
I watched True Blood.
Oh, dude, don't tell me. I'm like three seasons behind.
As in you've never watched it.
No, I have watched three episodes of that show, actually. You know, I'm a very sensitive person, so I'm very offended by the content.
Yes. Yes, it is quite bloody.
Can you describe a typical episode of True Blood to our listeners in a G-rated fashion?
In a G-rated fashion, there's basically a lot of R-rated content. Let's just put it that way. There's blood flying hither and yon.
That's not what I'm thinking about.
There's exposed parts. All the fun and sundry things that associate with both of those
it's
things.
It's kind of funny. I feel like you just described our podcast.
Yeah, a little bit. Especially now that we're on video. Dude, we had a pretty decent number of listeners of our first video. I did a little special test in that we only talked about it on the podcast.
Right.
I didn't mention it in the description on the podcast. I didn't post a link on the blog. And we still had a pretty... more watchers than I expected. So,
how many of those clicks were you personally?
Probably about three quarters, but still, those four other clicks we got were twice as many as I thought we'd get.
That's good.
Yeah. So, we're going to keep trying.
I'm happy for your little experiment.
Thanks, dude.
I'm surprised we didn't get any emails about your hair.
Yeah, it's good though. That's why, because it's all good.
It is. It looks. Yeah, you know how I feel about it.
And it's not a mullet.
No, it's not.
Thank you.
No, it's kind of long all over.
We don't want to get into a hair discussion, you and me,
no,
do we?
No, I don't think so.
Didn't think so. Okay. All righty. So this week,
a lot to talk about.
We do.
We have a ton of emails, dude.
Tons of emails. That's pretty much going to be the show this week. We were hoping to get an extra special guest. Unfortunately, that might have fallen through. I think it fell. It did fall through.
Because
we're recording now. But we might have the extra special guest on next week, seeing what we can do. Of course, it's still the summertime, so we have loads of time.
We do.
Yes. So, dude, what are we really talking about this week? We're talking about emails.
We've got emails. Before we get to the emails, dude, you know, we were talking a lot last week about Willie Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not sign with the Sharks.
Yes.
He signed with the Kings.
Yes.
For 2 years, $7 million, dude. Thoughts?
Yeah. I believe I had that one. That's my first thought.
You had the money right.
Yeah, I did.
I think that's ridiculous.
What's crazy to me is they said that the Kings were the only team that offered him more than 1 year. That was the rumor, the scuttlebutt surrounding the signing. But yet, he still got $3.5 million a year. Mm-hmm. So that makes me wonder what the single year deals, like requests were. I mean, were they offering him $4 million for 1 year?
I just can't imagine that San Jose was... We don't have the cap room to do that.
No, I mean, we don't. But if there were other players involved, if Washington was involved or other teams involved...
I don't think they have the cap room.
Why would the Kings
either
offer more money per year and more years, right?
Because they've got the room. They've got they have struck out so majorly this offseason. You know, they have to have some other t-shirts to sell besides their Ponikarovsky t-shirts.
Yeah, those
right?
are flying
those
off
are,
the
Those
shelves.
Are going to be flying like hotcakes. Can you give me that? I'd like to return my Teddy Purcell t-shirt.
Yeah.
Right. Can I get a Ponikarovsky in a small?
Exactly. And do you have a pink Ponikarovsky?
We sure do.
So,
what's the first email?
Dude, we have so many emails. I don't know which one to get to here.
Dude, go with the one on top.
Questions@dudesonhockey.com is the email address.
Yes.
We had a couple of people actually subscribe to our Twitter feed here in the last couple of days. And of course, for those of you maybe listening for one of the first times, we also have Facebook and we have a somewhat of a discussion on Facebook as well as the blog. So we're everywhere, dude.
Where are we not?
We are so caught up with the social media. We are everywhere and doing none of them well. So that's what makes it great. First one is Trevor.
Trevor.
Yes. Trevor's from Northern Ontario. He says it's hard finding information on the Sharks up here in Northern Ontario, so who better to ask than the dudes?
Well, I can think of about five other people, Trevor, but we're going to do our best.
Let me count the number of people that would be better than us.
Do our best.
All right. I'm interested in your take on the glut of talented goalies in the Sharks system. As you probably know, the Hockey News lists Tyson Sexsmith as the number one goalie prospect, seventh prospect overall. But I've read another publication which lists him third behind both Alex Stalock and Harry Sauteri. How would you rank these goaltenders? And then he includes the list, which is Couture, Patrecki, Coyle, Jocelyn, Zaleski, Zacherson, Sexsmith, Wren, Doherty, and Demers in that order.
Now, which Demers?
Julian.
The one who is no longer a part of the organization?
Yeah, the one who is no longer on the Sharks?
He's ranked 10th, and Alex Stalock is not on that list. That's how much street cred I'm giving this list.
Yeah.
This list, if it's accurate, is pretty ridiculous.
Why don't you pick guys that are still on the team?
Here's a question I have for you before we even get into this.
Really?
Do you consider Logan Couture to still be a prospect? Because I don't. I consider him to be an NHL roster player.
Yeah, yeah.
If he's on a list and Jamie McGinn is Jamie McGinn still a prospect?
I don't think so. I don't know what particular qualifier they're using to say he's a prospect or not. Is Logan Couture still Rookie of the Year eligible?
He played 25 games last year.
I think he might still be eligible. So maybe that's sort of a dividing line.
Okay.
So let's go with that. Let's say they actually have a decent system to determine whether a person is a prospect or not, and that's
all right.
What it is.
Well, for the sense of argument, I'm not including him, and I'm not including Jamie McGinn either, or Jason Demers, because, you know, if you look at Hockey's Future, too, they've got all three of those, or not McGinn, but they've got Jason Demers on their list, too, and Thomas Greiss. It's like...
Really?
Those guys, to me, they don't count. I guess the question was more about the goaltending, right? I have Sexsmith third on my list too, actually. And that's no disrespect to Sexsmith. I think the Sharks are so wildly deep in the goaltending prospect position that, you know, I kind of did my own personal top five, and I've got Stalock, Sauteri, and Sexsmith all in that top five.
Really? Okay.
You know, unfortunately, it looks like we're pretty weak, you know, in the forward prospect.
Well, what about
prospects?
Well, we have an email later in the show about Wingles and McIntyre, so those guys might be near the top.
Well, I've got McIntyre. You want to hear my top five?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to share it with you.
Please do.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Well, number one, you may scoff, but based on the importance of this prospect, I'm making him number one. Mm-hmm. All right. And you're smiling because I think you know who it's going to be.
Yeah.
But I'm going to shock you. I'm going to say my number one prospect is Charlie Coyle.
What?
Because, dude, he is really the only legitimate NHL top six forward we have in our system. Can you name any other one? He's not even signed yet, but...
What about Tommy Wingles or Cam McIntyre?
I don't know if those guys are those types of players.
Yeah.
I like the buzz around Charlie Coyle right now. He's probably going to make the USA junior team.
Okay.
And play in the World Juniors.
I must be a little behind on my Charlie Coyle news.
Well, but this guy, I mean, there was a thing on Fear the Fin, there was even an article in USA Today where they mentioned Charlie Coyle. And I think we haven't seen a Sharks prospect on one of the North American teams in a long time.
Yep.
So to be able to see this kid play potentially, he hasn't made that team yet. At that level, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So I've got him as number one. It might be a pretty weak number one, but I've got Stalock as number two.
I mean,
how is he not in the top five?
I don't know. He has to be in the top five. I mean, Patrecki, we've talked to Eric Lindgren earlier this year. You can go back and find that podcast. You know, the word on Patrecki is, not a great year, but he still has a lot of room to grow. He's still a young kid. He's still on the path, and it's way too early to write him off. So I agree with all of that. But the fact is that we have guys that are already performing, and Alex Stalock is one of those guys. 39-19 on the Worcester Sharks last year. 908 save percentage, not awesome. 2.63 goals against, not bad. So I think you're talking about a guy this young who jumps into the pro ranks and puts up those kinds of numbers his very first year. He's got to be a top three prospect for the Sharks. Absolutely has to be.
Yep. Number three, I mean, based on absolutely no knowledge at all,
mm-hmm.
I've got Cam McIntyre on my list. Everybody loves this guy, yeah. and we don't even know who this guy is.
No, we don't.
But I'm believing the hype, dude, because I am a follower.
Yes. We are sheep.
I have number four as Harry Sateri, but mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to Sateri.
Okay.
Number five is Tyson Sexsmith, and I mean, his resume is awesome, dude. Won the Memorial Cup 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Western Hockey League's all-time shutout leader in 26. All-time shutout leader.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's great.
And this is WHL, you said?
Yeah.
And the WHL puts a lot of guys into the NHL.
So,
a lot of guys.
You know, for him to have a bad year last year, so what?
Not a great year.
No, not a great year. But I'm concerned about him having the games to play.
Yeah.
Like maybe he's going to be the goalie for the Stockton Thunder
yeah,
next year.
Yeah, exactly. You I know, was thinking the same thing.
I would much rather see him play 60 or 55 games for the Stockton Thunder
mm-hmm.
than sit and watch Alex Stalock play, you know, all those games and get in 20 games. Okay, let's talk about Sateri, dude.
Yeah.
This just dawned on me, and maybe I'm, you know, stretching here. Right. The Sharks signed a Finnish goalie.
Yeah. Now they have another
Finnish. Now they have another Finnish goalie. Do you think it's possible that, you know, Niti Mäki being a Finnish netminder,
mm-hmm.
the added bonus to having him here and now having Harry Sateri is, you know, you've got one Finnish netminder grooming another. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that Sateri could be on the Sharks not this year but next year, backing up Niti Mäki?
I think it's possible. Absolutely. I think Greiss is going to get an opportunity, but Sateri could be there. It took me a while to find his stats, but I think his stats last year in the Finnish Elite League, the number one league in Finland, which is probably not as, it's probably third in Europe, I think, maybe certainly behind the KHL and probably behind the Swedish Elite League. So maybe the third best league in Europe. He was basically 521-22, 2.73 goals against, 915 save percentage, not bad. So this guy has some skill. He's really young, and he played a lot of games in the Finnish Elite League. And they have, his team, for instance, has none other than Steve Gwala players.
That's good.
Can you imagine? So Sateri is definitely playing with men. He's playing in a professional league, and he's
three-time member of the Finnish World Junior team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That can't go unnoticed. What's the worst league in Europe? Is it the Scottish Elite League?
There's a lot of leagues.
Could be worse than that.
I think there's an Italian league, actually.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's an English league now, too.
There is the China League.
Right, but that's not in Europe.
I know.
Right,
I know.
Because you just said Europe.
I was connecting dots, dude. I don't know what to say.
Okay.
I know China's not in Europe.
Thank you. But in terms of top prospects, I think we have the same order, Stalock, Sateri, and Sexsmith in that order. Only because Sexsmith seemed to have taken a bit of a step back, and Sateri is still playing good professional hockey, something we can't say yet for Tyson Sexsmith. So that's the order. You know, Stalock has to be one of the best prospects the Sharks have. I mean, this guy, you know, couldn't... I mean, a lot of teams have put in young goalies in net with worse performances than Alex Stalock. So if the Sharks weren't so deep and didn't have other guys and didn't want to go out and get Niti Mäki and make a run at the Cup, you might very well see Alex Stalock between the pipes a lot.
Right. And this also kind of shows that maybe, you know, a late first round draft pick is almost overrated
mm-hmm.
because Stalock and McIntyre, both college free agents.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why Doug Wilson doesn't mind giving up that pick so much.
Right.
Because he feels like he can get the same quality of player who can maybe even get to the league faster on the free agent market. Hey, no love for Petrecki, dude.
Yeah, no love for... I still like Petrecki, but...
I'm leaving off the list because, you know, he listens to the show, dude, and I'm just trying not to put as much pressure on him.
Good idea.
What's with all the love for Derek Jocelyn? He's number four.
It's got to be like
list.
It's like tenure. He was on the list last year, so you don't really have a great reason not to bump him. So
someone please email me and tell me why they like Derek Jocelyn as a player.
Yeah,
I'd like to know.
All right, dude. We spent way too much time on that question, but we do have Jim from Section 202, who was the guy who was nameless last week and emailed
Jim,
us about Owen.
Jim, say your name.
So he's the one who's asking us about Wingles. So he said, last I heard, Wingles was developing great with Miami, but he has another year of college eligibility. As for McIntyre, does anybody really know a damn thing about him? We've seen the hype, but I can't see him stepping on the ice with NHL players and having success. Do you, either of you know anything more that might suggest Wingles or McIntyre could contribute next year? My answer is no, I have no idea. But you have answers,
well,
right?
Well, I mean, I have limited answers. I know that Wingles is definitely signed. He signed an entry-level deal. It's a two-year deal. So he's going to be at least part of the Worcester Sharks. And, you know, I would put Wingles kind of in that Ben Ferriero category where... and I think expectations for Wingles might even be higher. You know, he played on a great team at, you know, Miami and went to the Frozen Four twice. And he was the captain of that team. And, you know, I'm very curious to see how he's going to translate into an NHL or professional hockey player. Is he going to be a Joe Pavelski type of gritty, you know, second line center, although I guess Joe isn't really gritty, but a hardworking, making up for maybe a little bit of a lack of flash type of guy. McIntyre's the big mystery, dude. You know, everybody loves him. You know, there was talk in an interview that, you know, if Ryan Clough was ever to go down, you know, the Sharks felt pretty confident in their depth in young power forwards, and McIntyre was the name that Doug Wilson said. So, you got to believe that he likes something about him. And I think the second part of that question is asking about Owen Nolan and, you know, him signing. And I just don't think the Sharks are going to add any more veteran forwards.
Right.
Except for maybe tryouts. They have the $3 million of cap space. And that's really valuable when you look at the list of defensemen that are going to be unrestricted free agents next year and that might be available at the deadline. Listen to this list, dude, quickly. Chara.
Yeah.
I'm Jovikov.
Mm-hmm.
McCabe, Markov,
right,
Pikkanen, Chris Phillips,
oh hell yeah,
Ian White, Mark Giordano,
wow,
okay,
we're talking a lot of good.
We're talking
there.
A lot of good.
That's
names.
A lot of good.
So
guys.
You got to have the cap room, and I think that that's the plan right now.
Man,
Chris, the cap room at the deadline.
Don't tease me with Chris Phillips.
Well, if Ottawa goes in the toilet,
yeah,
you got to have the cap room to absorb a guy like that. We know Doug Wilson's not afraid to trade for free agents.
All right, good question, Jim. Thanks for emailing in. Okay, next one, we're moving right along here to Mark in Livermore.
Mark in beautiful Livermore.
Mark says, I know the tank rocks with fans. I know the season ticket base is strong. I know the Sharks store is packed during games, and I know how much Sharks fans love the teal. But have you ever tried to talk NHL with a Sharks fan? I don't mean stats-based analysis. Even I find that stuff brain-numbing. But something simple like, did you see insert player headshot insert player the other night? I have found, not scientific, of course, that the Sharks fans that I've tried to get NHL grooving just don't want to dance with me. Are Sharks fans just interested in the Sharks, or are they interested in the drama and excellence that is the National Hockey League? Okay, and here's the last question, which is even better than that already great email. I was thinking of going to a couple of Thunder games this year. Is the area where the arena is located a nice place to hang before the game, or should I run from the parking garage to the arena? All right, so second question first. I mean, Stockton, yeah, it's maybe not quite as cosmopolitan as New York City, but the arena is not in a bad part of town.
Oh, they have a nice downtown.
Yeah, it's not a bad downtown at all, so it's not scary by any means, and I bet that you will see Doug and myself there at some point during this season.
I hope so, yeah.
Especially if Tyson Sexsmith is playing.
I only got shanked once.
Yeah, just the one time.
Just one time.
And it was just a flesh wound.
Yeah, it didn't really fully penetrate.
Didn't hit any major organs.
No.
Yeah, so you're good. All right,
just
so
my spleen.
So the first question is a good one. Sharks fans, NHL fans, dude. I have a theory about this. I want to hear what you say.
Okay. Well, I think when you look around the NHL and you look at the teams that maybe have like those sort of rabid, obsessed fans, it's because they've really got nothing else going on in their area, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's maybe they've had the NHL in their market a lot longer. The attention of a Bay Area sports fan is divided, you know, based on the season. Where do the Sharks rank in the Bay Area in terms of overall status? I have them fifth, you know, 49ers, Raiders, Giants, Warriors, Sharks.
Yeah, that's probably about
then
right.
Then A's.
Then A's, yeah.
All right. I think they fall somewhere in there, and and that might be why we don't see sort of the passion for overall NHL hockey. Like when the Sharks drop out of the playoffs, the TV ratings for the Stanley Cup here probably are terrible.
Right. So we're But you're talking about all sports fans. He's talking about Sharks fans, the guys that pay good money to go to the arena.
Sure, but I think that Sharks fans are all sports fans. It's not like
not
you're
me.
In Edmonton, but if you're in Edmonton, you've got the Oilers and that's it.
Right.
So when
Rough Riders?
When the season's over, you're still thinking about the Oilers.
Yeah.
When the Sharks season's over, you can start watching the Giants lose.
Well, dude, what about Toronto? I mean, Toronto's got lots of different sports. Right?
Yeah.
They got baseball, they got football, they got the Argonauts in the Canadian Football League.
That's true.
They got NBA and Major League Baseball.
But that's an area that is, you know, has a culture of hockey.
I'm talking about.
San Jose has a culture of hockey.
See, that's my pet theory about this, Mark, is that it really has a lot to do with the history of the team and the youth or lack thereof of the team. If you look at a team that has had NHL for a long time, you see these players on your team slowly disperse throughout the league. They get jobs in other places. You know, the Sharks are a very young team. They're 20th anniversary this year.
Right.
So we're not talking about fans that have been engaged in hockey for 20 years. To be perfectly honest, I think a lot of them are just happy to follow their team, and that's what they know. And a lot of fans are still coming in. There's not a culture of hockey fandom here in the Bay Area. So, yeah, I mean, I think in relation to an original six team like Boston or Toronto or Montreal, yeah, you're not going to get as much NHL knowledge generally with the fans. But I think that's mostly because it's a young team and people are still just sort of learning hockey, learning how it goes. When you're talking about absolute nuts like me and Doug, we can't get enough of hockey, so we know what Joe Vokop's salary is and the other teams he's played for in the NHL. So maybe it's a lower percentage, but they're still diehard NHL fans, Mark. There still are, and we know them, and we talk to them, and you know people care. I always say I'm an NHL hockey fan first and a Sharks fan second, because it's just a great game, and if the Sharks moved out of town, I'd be heartbroken, but I'd still be watching hockey.
All right, let me ask you this. Now, some of our friends or acquaintances who are other NHL diehard fans, would you say that the Sharks are their number one team?
Wait, say that again?
I'm saying, are they Sharks fans or are they Penguins fans and Sharks fans? Are they Flyers fans and Sharks fans? Are they Wings fans and Sharks fans? I'm saying, did they grow up in the culture of another team and now because they're in the Bay Area, they have the Sharks?
Yeah, I mean, I know the people you're talking about specifically, and I'd certainly say it's the Flyers and the Penguins and the Wings fans far before the Sharks, and the Sharks are like, well, cool, they're here so I can go watch them play the Penguins.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess, will the Bay Area ever have that culture, dude?
I think so. I think if you have enough history, right? If the Sharks do well and they win the Cup and there's this sort of culture of winning and they get some great players. I mean, Joe Thornton won the Hart Trophy. I mean, I think that was a huge step in sort of the evolution of hockey in San Jose. Sure, we always had good players. We had Owen Nolan. We had a Calder Trophy winner, but we never had a major trophy winner until the year Joe Thornton won the Hart and Chichu won the Rocket Richard. And I think that made a huge difference. So we see these guys sort of go throughout the league. I hope over time we're going to see a more generalized NHL knowledge. But right now, still young fans in the grand scheme of things.
Mark, we're always happy to talk about the hit that Jeff Finger laid on John Sim.
Absolutely.
You can email us anytime.
Or the time that who fought Mark Bell and then got his face broken?
It was John Sim.
It was John Sim.
Yes.
Yeah. And Mark Bell said, are you sure? And he said, good luck, kid, before he broke his face. So that's a great story.
We're always down for those.
All right. Adam B. from Berkeley says, who do you guys think will be the surprise player out of training camp this year? There always seems to be somebody that makes it that we didn't expect. Petrecki or Moore on D, Desjardins or McCarthy up front. I've heard rumors that Danny Grew signed a contract in Russia. Do the dudes know if there's any truth to this? It would be a bummer to lose the AHL's top D-man from last year.
I do have an answer for that.
For the second one.
Yeah, yeah. It is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny Grew had signed with Torpedo in the KHL.
Right.
I know because I went on the KHL Russian website today and scrolled around until I found his picture.
I went a little bit simpler and I went to the Wikipedia page, which albeit is not completely for sure, but that was good enough for me.
That was good enough for you?
Yeah, good enough.
That's not crack research.
Not
you
really.
Should be scrolling around in foreign languages.
I should be, yeah. Oh, well. I was trying to do that on the Finnish league.
What about your surprise player?
Surprise player, man. I'm gonna go with people, my betters, and I'm going to go with Eric Lindquist and say that Desjardins is my sleeper pick this year to make the team. if they need a grinding third line guy and they want a guy with a little bit more physicality than Torrey Mitchell and a little bit more size than Scott Nickel, then Andrew Desjardins of the Crazed Rat line in Worcester could be the one. That's my pick. Dude,
you totally stole my pick. Okay, I'm going to make another pick just off the top of my head.
Okay.
Because last year I went with Ben Ferriero.
Yeah, you
did. That was a good pick at first. At first.
Hey, he made the team. That was a great pick.
You know what? I'm going to go with Alex Stalock. I think he is going to push Thomas Greiss, and that it's possible that he might take his job. I mean, unless they really felt like they wanted Nidamaki to play 50, 55 games, if they're going to go an even split, they might go with Stalock.
Yeah. Interesting pick. I think we've said before that we thought Stalock may, they wanted to get him a lot of games in Worcester. I'm still sticking with that, but it's not a bad bet.
Yeah. If they've got Sateri and Sexsmith floating around and he outplays Greiss, it's not impossible. And you stole my pick.
Sorry, dude. All right, last email from Wings fan in Sharks land.
Oh.
I was listening to the podcast yesterday, and it got me thinking, is this year's free agency situation some sort of market correction that we are just now seeing as a result of the salary cap? It seems like there's quite a bit of talent being squeezed out of the NHL this year in particular. I'm wondering if superstar salaries will sort of level off for a bit while the salary cap rises, and teams can then afford some of those mid-level players who can't be accommodated for financially right now.
Hmm. So superstar salaries leveling off.
Mm-hmm.
Have we really seen that?
No, not really, no.
No. The stars are being paid like stars.
Right.
It's the middle class that have been totally frozen out.
Right.
So what's your theory here?
My theory is that the league is in an amazing amount of turmoil right now. I was trying to come up with this finely tuned theory about how everybody's going youth and all this crap. You know, I don't think that everybody is that smart collectively. I'm going with the turmoil theory. Nobody has any idea which end is up. Here's two players. Manny Malhotra, $2.5 million on one hand. Lee Stempniak, $1.75 million on the other hand. Okay, now, you're going to have a lot of trouble convincing me that Manny Malhotra is a better player than Lee Stempniak. You really are. I mean, Manny Malhotra is a great player, and he has a role, and he performs that role extremely well. But you can't tell me 25 to 30 goals is worth a hell of a lot more than whatever Manny Malhotra is doing, however great he is doing that. So that tells me people don't really understand or know what's going on with this market in terms of players. It's just like, okay, that's the guy I want. You know, Doug Wilson, I want Nidamaki. I'm going to sign him for $2 million. Well, maybe Chris Mason's a better goalie. Well, he got less money.
Right.
You know, it's just sort of like everybody's sort of grasping at straws trying to get who they get. And the middle class is still the one being squeezed, but not in sort of in any organizational way.
It's identifying your need, grabbing it, paying what you think is the right value for it, and everybody else be damned.
Right. And everybody else doesn't agree. You know,
there's been some wacky stuff, some weird and wacky stuff, dude.
Yeah.
Like Stepniak's a great example. The 2 years, 1.75 that he got. I mean, that's
for a great deal.
Who's almost scored 30 goals last year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Here's another guy who scored 28 goals. Same as Stempniak the year before. And Nick Antropov.
Yeah.
He got 4 years, $16 million from Atlanta the year before.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I probably would rather have Nick Antropov than Lee Stempniak, but not for double the money, double the term.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
ridiculous. So there is, I mean, would Antropov have still been sitting there right now? Probably not. But here's one that I think is even a crazier example. Last year, Dale Talent, in his crazed Stanley Cup building moment, signed Thomas Kopechky for $1.2 million. And he didn't even play in every game.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
And now, this week, the Canucks got Rafi Torres for one?
Right.
For $1 million?
Yeah, yeah. It's
who's the better player? Rafi Torres.
Yeah, yeah.
By a lot, and he's getting less money?
Right.
And he can't get any term? That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing is the thing that sort of feeds into this is some teams want to try and wring all of the talent and production out of the small guys on entry-level deals that they can.
Yes.
I was looking at some of these stats. So Stempniak, 28 goals last year, right? James Neal, 27 goals. How much did James Neal make? $800,000 because he's on an entry-level deal.
Yeah.
Okay. What about Chris Stewart of the Colorado Avalanche? 29 goals. He made $700,000 last year. So you're talking about a team maybe that doesn't want to spend a lot. You say, why would I pay $2 or $3 million for a guy who can score 28 goals when I can pay a third of that and hopefully draft a Chris Stewart and have Chris Stewart give me 28
daring
goals.
Your own guys to give you the same production that free agents can give you.
Right.
And that for some teams has been very successful. I think the other thing that answers this question and is applying to, you know, Wings fans' very own team is the ability of teams like the Wings and the Sharks to keep their own players for below market value.
Right.
Keeping the guys together. You look at the Wings, I mean, they have a ton of veteran guys, but they're all signed for pretty darn reasonable contracts.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how they're able to keep that group alive, a group that, again, is going to contend for a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had been allowed to hit the market, you know, all those guys would be breaking the bank somewhere else. Johan Franzen could have made, someone would have given him $6 million.
Probably.
You know, and he's not even, he's barely making four. He's 3.9.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know,
that's crazy. I mean, he would have got six from somebody. No question.
Right, right.
So,
it's just, it's weirdness. And with the CBA probably expiring in 2 years, the Players Union has an option next year. You don't want to sign guys to a long-term deal because you don't know how these things are going to change. They could change the way the salary cap is calculated. They could change certain rules about contracts. And there's no certainty on how that's going to handle existing contracts. You know, like the last CBA, everybody took a pay cut, but that may not be the truth for the next one. And the next one may be more restrictive. So I think teams are really scared about signing a guy. You know, you sign Ovechkin because you want to have Ovechkin, but do you really want to sign Lee Stempniak to a 4 or 5 year deal? It's like, no thanks. I'll roll the dice and take my chances.
We're seeing this in other sports too. We saw this in baseball this year where a lot of guys, veteran guys in their early to mid 30s, didn't get signed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up playing in like the independent baseball league out on the East Coast, and they probably still have something left to give. So I think we thought when the KHL kind of got strong and we're throwing around a lot of dollars that might create free agent marketplace competition, but it's almost like the GMs are daring the guys to go to Russia.
Right.
You want that money? We're not going to give it to you. I dare you to go to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys are taking the jump, but others are still sitting around waiting. I mean, we've talked about Owen Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to Owen Nolan this year, dude? Someone going to snap him up?
Well, we said that he was too good to get a training camp invite, but now I'm not so sure.
I don't think, out of pure pride, a guy like Owen Nolan is going to accept a training camp invite from the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, you're right.
I just don't think... I think he'd rather retire than be a training camp invite.
Yep, I'll go with that. Especially since he already lives here in lovely San Jose.
Oh.
Well, dude, I think that was a pretty good show.
Not bad.
Took a lot of good emails and... still plenty of things to talk about here, and we could talk about Kovalchuk, but it's boring and nothing's happening, so who cares, right?
What about Paul Kariya out for the season?
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer.
Why did it take this long for him to realize that he had scrambled eggs?
Well, probably he tested about 10 doctors, and I mean, hockey players want to play, right?
Yeah.
He would want to wait till the last minute. It's not like he's going to decide in June, I don't think I'll play this year. No, it's like he's going to work out, he's going to try and do all the things he needs to do, and then he's going to talk to the doctor, and the doctor's going to say, listen, dude.
Yeah.
No way. And he's going to say, God, you sure?
It's kind of weird because Dean Lombardi offered him 2 years, $3.5 million per year, you know.
Really? Is that true?
That's what he offers everybody with a concussion.
Oh, God. Brutal.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I heard he's trying to get Eric Lindros out of retirement.
Right. And Adam Deadmarsh. And Brett Lindros.
You love a good concussion in LA.
Oh, man. Concussion humor. It's awesome. It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Well.
All right, dude. I think that's it for this week, but we will be back again next week.
We will.
And you're going to see us on YouTube again. I'm still trying this experiment, even though Doug is scowling.
But no,
this
I'm part happy about it.
You're not happy, but he's scowling, but that part won't be on the video, but the beginning of the podcast will. So check that out.
Good.
And send us some emails and of course, visit us again next week. Same time, same place.
We're getting so close to hockey, dude. Can you feel it?
I can totally feel it, dude. We're like a month away.
It's almost time to start talking about fantasy hockey too. That's cool.
Fantasy hockey. Okay. In the next week, we got to do fantasy hockey.
That's right.
Okay.
We're going to make it happen.
So make it happen, dude. See you then.
Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.